Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the results presentation of Três Tentos relative to Q3 2021. Here with us today, we have Mr. Luiz Dumoncel, CEO, Maurício Hasson, CFO and IRO, and Eduardo Motta, IR Manager at Três Tentos. This event is being recorded and also simultaneously translated into English. During the event, all participants will be connected in listen-only mode. At the end, we'll start a Q&A session. Questions can be made via audio by clicking on the Raise Your Hand icon on the lower part of your screen. To send text questions, just click on the icon Q&A, also available at the lower part of the screen, and post your question. Participants connected over the telephone can ask their questions by pressing star nine. Before moving on, we'd like to say that forward-looking statements made during this call concerning the company's business forecast, financial and operating targets are based on the company's assumptions and beliefs, and also on information currently available. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. General economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the results of the company in the future and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Mr. Luiz Dumoncel. Please, Mr. Dumoncel, you may carry on. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your attention, for everybody who's here with us to discuss our results for Três Tentos' third quarter 2021. On the first slide, we talk about the growth of our sector, of our industry, the agribusiness in Brazil, agribusiness around the world, actually, fortunately, has not slowed down. So this is no longer a mere trend, it's reality. Brazil's relevance in the world agribusiness is, without a doubt, very present. We have the confidence, the trust in our country's natural conditions, in the skills of our growers, and today, in the evolution of all the new technologies. And we also have a high level of confidence on this line of business where Três Tentos started 26 years ago, having become an ecosystem within the agro, standing apart from the average and difficult to be replicated, combining food production and also producing renewable energy. And one feeds on the other. As for growth, high growth, healthy margins, and high levels of returns, Três Tentos is confident and continued to grow. Of course, numbers will depend on market conditions. They may be up in one industry and lower in another industry. And that's one of the strengths of the company. We conduct arbitrage within the business so we can provide high levels of certainty. It is a safe line of growth. I personally would like to share with you that I have this strong belief that our return on investments will reflect. Maurício will go into those numbers with more detail later, but those numbers reflect Três Tentos' ecosystems and its ability to explore each unit to its most. So what we do around our growers. In 2022, we expect to have over 725,000 tons of soybeans, producing 560,000-570,000 tons of soybean meal, and around 200,000 cubic meters of biodiesel. That is an important level of growth, and we are very happy to share with you in the market today. As for our expansion plan, yesterday I erased the word plan and just left expansion. It is very healthy, both in the Rio Grande do Sul state and in the state of Mato Grosso. We are quite confident in that delivery. At the same time, we are not doing anything that is not under our control. We are growing within the company's culture, following a very well planned execution line, and managing that very culture that the company has, which is work close to growers, farmers, and win with them. That growth, that work is something we do with excellence. And we are working hard to never lose sight of that. And the outlook for 2022 is very optimistic, very bullish, because demand for food is, of course, uptrending around the world. In addition to that, we have other factors that are becoming more important, I'd say, such as sustainability, the environment, carbon credits. And Três Tentos is keeping a close look on all of those factors, all of those demands, to be able to meet a higher need, for example, renewable fuels such as biodiesel. So we are paying close attention to all the moves in terms of new technologies for planting, crop development, harvesting, grain origination, and then in the industry side. And of course, also paying attention to this new market, the carbon market, that along with another 18,000 growers, we'll be working around that as well. On the next screen, if I may, we're gonna be talking about the crop. I'd like to talk about the 2021 crop. We are almost at the end of the year, another month and a half, we had record crops, 22.3 million tons of soybeans. But I can tell you that I can certainly say and state that this is not a trend. It is also a reality. Brazil will harvest increasingly higher levels. Expanding areas, yes, in Rio Grande do Sul, Mato Grosso over pasture areas, but it'll also grow mainly based on new technologies. So 22.3 million, when will that happen? This might happen in the next season, next crop, because we'll have more technology, more work being done on the same acreage. We had seed offerings likely higher than demand. Grower used some saved seeds, but I was talking to Eduardo and Mauricio on how to share our topic on seeds. We wanted to show you what we expect to see in new technology. We know that biotech around the world, and we as a company, we travel to different labs, not only in Brazil, but abroad. Something done with a lot high level of safety for us to be able to produce more and better in any sustainable way. So Três Tentos, as a company that started producing seeds, so our foundation is around seeds, crop protection products, and so on. So we do have a very strong foundation there. We continue to evolve. That business also tends to grow within Três Tentos, just as the other ones. Under seeds, we have a focus, which is special, of course. The price increase, we consider that to be transient, temporary, especially input prices. Those prices will adjust to market demands, to new situations. We've been following that market for a long time. We know it fluctuates, and currently with all that level of volatility and uncontrollable factors, unpredictable factors are there. And Três Tentos, I may repeat myself and I apologize for that, just to reinforce. But Três Tentos has a way to hedge those against those prices, because we do work within a broader ecosystem. The biodiesel mix, talking about 2021, we have the after pandemic situations, a high foreign exchange rate for the US dollar that drove fuel prices up. Brazil imports about 20% of the diesel oil it consumes, because we have no ability to produce all that. Biodiesel started getting stronger in 2005. Before that, the import participation of biodiesel in Brazil sat at around over 30%, 30% plus. Today, we are at a level of 20%. So we are very susceptible to price changes. And the government and the Ministry of Mines and Energy reduced that number to 10%. And that, of course, harmed our business. But at the same time, we do have a strength, which is the work within that ecosystem. We are confident that biodiesel is also a promising business. For the 2021 crop conditions are very good. In Mato Grosso, we have 95% of the soybeans already on the field, November 9th, which is very, very good. A very, very good planting window. In Rio Grande do Sul, 60% of soybeans already planted. We still need to harvest corn and wheat and also oats. Wheat with very good yields, especially with good quality. We have an adequate demand for our wheat. This is a great year in terms of prices for us to export wheat and to meet internal demands. That decision will be made when the growers start selling. Now, going back to the price pressure on inputs, for the 2021, this was already being felt, but the crop is already almost done. For 21, 22, we already feel that. For 2022, 2023, we will see some pressure also, but we look at it as a temporary price adjustment. We do need to take into account we are now starting to leave a pandemic situation. That's what we hope for. And the pandemic deregulated or caused imbalances in the supply networks. Of course, the energy crisis came along, and that, of course, affected offerings. We know that nitrogen can be found around the world. Phosphorus can be found in Morocco. Potash, Russia, Belarus. So there is some sort of price control, but it's important to know that we are going through a very important worldwide barter because China needs food, needs grains. China won't control the world offering of agricultural inputs because if they do it, they won't have the grains they need so badly. So we try to have a broader view, a more sensible view of those moves. That's something that happens naturally in the market. But Três Tentos, once again, Três Tentos is 100% ready. The 2021-2022 crop is within the timeline. 60% of our clients have already planted, and they planted well. We are monitoring that. There were one-off problems, isolated problems, which were addressed Três Tentos, very, very few problems, no problems at all in fertilizers. We are already prepared to meet clients' demand, so we are ready for that. An increase in acreage, that's also a reality in the pasture areas. Cattle breeding will increasingly become more intensive in Brazil, so cattle breeding in long, vast stretches of land, we will see that increasingly less. What we'll see is intensive cattle breeding, highly professionalized, highly mechanized. That's a very positive view for corn, especially for soybeans and soybean meal. So acreage will grow in Mato Grosso and Rio Grande do Sul. And you can be sure that Três Tentos is 100% ready to meet the demands coming from those new areas. As for the new format for biodiesel trading, I consider that to be progress, an evolution. We as producers of biodiesel, when we talk to our colleagues, our peers, ProBio, UberBio, and other associations, and we were always expecting, there were a couple of imbalances as the new format was introduced, but today, when we talk to the distributing companies, which are our clients, Ipiranga, Raízen, BR Distributor, and so many other distributing companies and clients, we are already defining the market for January and February 2022. Nutris Dentus is quite reassured in communicating prices because we have our soybean oil, our raw material, and we have control of our costs, our hedging mechanisms. So when we start doing businesses or working on contracts for January, February, that will be ready. We will have a period to mature that market without a doubt. But I would say that the market is ready. It was slightly by fits and starts on the part of the government, but on our end, we were getting ready for that. And we know that our quality, our hard work would reflect, would be acknowledged by our clients, our final, our end clients. In other words, the distributing companies. In terms of operating highlights, I have to say that today, Três Tentos meets 6.7 thousand million hectares of area covered in Rio Grande do Sul in soybeans, corn, wheat, and rice, 80%. Rio Grande do Sul plants more than 9 million hectares, and there is room to grow in the southern portion of the state over pasture areas, as I said. And until 2025, Três Tentos will be together to cover 100% of that area, offering solutions that can make a difference to our clients. In terms of fertilizers, we had a third quarter in 2021, a record amount so far, over 77,000 tons of fertilizers sold. So a year where many companies had difficulties in finding fertilizers, we were there, we were ready, we were prepared to deliver that basic input for growers. Today, we're going to close another 1.3 million tons of grain origination, soybeans, corn, and wheat until December 31st. We'll exceed that volume, that amount. And that, of course, gives us a lot of confidence in moving forward. Growers is with us from the start of the production cycle until the end. And that, of course, is very encouraging. Was we have 135 consultants, agronomists. As we speak now, they are out in the field working with growers, making important decisions for business going forward. Soybeans, which has just been planted. What's going to happen now after corn is harvested and so on. The capacity of biodiesel has increased 200 cubic meters per day in addition to what we had. So Três Tentos this year will reach around over 200,000 cubic meters already traded, and we are ready to meet 280,000 cubic meters. In other words, we are growing, and we are growing with safety, with robustness across all its business lines. We're not only going to grow one business or another. We're going to grow across the board. 3.2 thousand users of our app. I am very, very excited with this. Then this was done way back in 2018. And today we see a validation of that step, the app. If I may, one day I'd like to share some of audio messages from growers that are asking us, how could we not have this before? We can send invoices via cell phone and other things. Now, think about when we have 5G implemented, life will be much easier for everyone. So today, 80% of the A-Curve customers already use the app to sell grains, to monitor vegetative indexes and so on. So it is a true evolution, and Três Tentos has built that solution around a proprietary technology, I'd like to say, aimed at our growers. They use it very, very, it is very friendly. That can be found across 47 stores and now servicing more than 18,000 clients. And I know this is one of the company's strength, that work over the counter, and that counter will increase and will increase with quality, because we're talking about growers who want to produce more, to produce better, and to work in sustainable conditions. And that's our commitment of Três Tentos. And then I'll turn the conference over to Mauricio. I'll be back at the end. So now over to you, Mauricio. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Speaking specifically about the financial highlights of the company posted in the third quarter 2021 a record revenue in the quarter, 1.7 billion BRLs. It is a growth of 103% vis-a-vis the same period of last year, driven by mainly by grains in the third quarter. I'll be talking about that down the presentation. Gross profit adjusted in the third quarter came at 241 million BRLs, a growth of 33%, a margin of 13.9%, driven by the mix effect in the grains segment, which reduced the company's gross margin. And the year to date, 9 months, 525 million BRLs, a growth of 43%. That was the results we are delivering in the third quarter has been helping us put together our growth rate, both in revenues and in gross profit, in the adjusted terms. When you look at the EBITDA advantage, 147 million BRLs in the quarter, a growth of 26%. Part of that growth has helped in diluting fixed costs. In other words, that helps dilute costs even amidst a scenario where we have decreasing margins. We are now sitting at 8.5% for EBITDA margin and 8.6% in the year-to-date numbers. As for net income, 97 million, almost 98 million BRLs. Year-to-date, 263 million, very close to what we posted last year, the whole year, a growth of 56% in a period of 9 months with a margin of 7.1%. The levels of return over own capital and over invested capital, very close to what we had posted before. Of course, there was an impact coming from the investments made by the company as per its expansion plan, over 220 million BRLs already invested in the expansion plan. Investment which has not yet started providing a return. As anticipated, it's only natural for us to imagine a ROE and ROIC curve with a lower level of profitability when compared to what we had been presenting before, but still very, very healthy levels of return, as you can see on the slide. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 7, a strong growth in the company's results, having reached 3.7 billion BRLs in revenue in 2021. A highlight is that that growth happens across the three segments where the company operates. In addition to analyze the quarter, it's important, and I always say this, it's also important to look at the year-to-date numbers. It's a very important variable for us to look at together to avoid possible or potential distortions due to seasonality. So when we look at ag inputs, it grew 58% in the first 9 months of the year, especially crop protection products and fertilizers, which grew significantly in volume and in revenue. Seeds, as Luis just mentioned, also grew, hasn't had its great quarter. That's gonna happen in the fourth quarter, where we expect to perform really well in grains and in grains, we saw a stable growth across the company's three products, soybeans, corn, and wheat. So we saw a growth in volume, in revenue, and in gross profit. If you exclude the extraordinary growth in the third quarter, 636% in revenue growth. But in the year-to-date numbers, where you can say better spread of revenue between the first and second half of the year, we have already reached the level of 148% of growth in revenue and a gross profit growth of 100% when compared to the first 9 months of the previous year. In terms of revenue, we had a growth in the year, which already reflects the increase in volume sold, especially for biodiesel. We had a growth in the first 9 months of the year of 57% in the company's net revenue and a growth in gross profit of 15%. With that, we closed the 9 months of the year with 526 million BRLs in gross profit. Oh, now turning to the next slide, slide number 8, we have a breakdown of the ag inputs. As I said, the ag inputs saw a good growth in fertilizers. It was the best quarter of the company in terms of fertilizer sales, 77.7 thousand tons of fertilizers. In the quarter of last year, we had had a record numbers also. So that already reflects an increase in the area covered by the company in terms of input sales and an increase in market share we have been experiencing for the past few years. I'll be talking about that later today as well. And in terms of crop protection products, we have been growing consistently in the 9 months to date. 28% growth for the fourth quarter. We have a very positive outlook when compared to forward sales. In terms of net revenue, a growth both in seeds, fertilizers, and crop protection. Seeds, especially, as Luis said, seed prices reflect the technology which is embedded in the product. So it's not only an increase in value, but it's also an increase in unit price, specifically speaking of unit price. In terms of fertilizers, we do have an impact coming from an increase in the cost of fertilizers, and that, of course, reflects on the prices. And for crop protection, we also see a growth in a similar dynamic that we see under fertilizers. With that, we have a growth in gross profit of 75% in the quarter and 90% in the year. An expansion of margins both in the quarter and in the year. We had already been growing along those lines for year-to-date, 20.2% growth. As I said in the past earnings call, historical margins for the company, and you can access that in our IR website about historical margins in our website. We are getting close to historical margins for the company, which sat at around 25%. For ag inputs. Turning to the next slide for grains, this was not an isolated event. This was a sharp growth in volume traded of soybeans, corn, and wheat, which of course reflects the average commodity prices, which increased from 2020 to 2021, but also reflecting the effect of unit prices on net revenues, and also gross margins dropped a bit within normal ranges, but that mainly reflects the mix within the segment. Soybeans has a lower gross margins. And in the third quarter, we saw a lower margin than what we had in the previous year. Still a contribution for gross profit, which was quite relevant. At the end of the day, a growth year to date of almost 100% when compared to the same period of last year. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 10, about the industry. It already reflects a growth in volume coming from biodiesel. Part of that growth came by an increase in capacity mentioned by Luis in his presentation early on. We move from a capacity, nominal capacity of 650 cubic meters per day to 850 cubic meters a day. That allows the company to have more flexibility in producing biodiesel. And even in challenging scenarios of changes in blends, reaching the level of the B10, even in a more challenging scenario, we are able to increase the volume sold by 14% in the 9 months of the year. The volume of soybean meal is still flat. The fourth quarter has a stronger expectation in terms of volume and price because we have a stronger demand from the internal market in the fourth quarter, which will push prices up. Net revenues with that has a benefit coming from an increase in volume, but also in price, especially when we compare numbers year on year. The first 9 months in revenue grew 71% for biodiesel and for meal, 46%. The margin comparison in the third quarter will be a comparison between two very distinct scenarios. The third quarter of 2020, we had for biodiesel and for meal for different reasons. We had very positive scenarios. For biodiesel, we had a period where Brazil and the world was going through a pandemic, and the demand scenario for diesel in Brazil and for biodiesel as well was a very downtrending scenario than the first half. Distributing companies were pressured when the economy started picking up in the second half. They increased the volume of biodiesel they purchased to increase the blend. And with that, the second half auctions last year, second half were auctions where the premium for biodiesel was higher when compared to oil, and therefore leading to higher margins. Having said that, the comparison with the third quarter of this year is a comparison which is healthy, comes out as a healthy one, given that much has been speculated about the impact of the reduction of the blend of biodiesel in the company's results. Specifically speaking about the industry, the impact brought lower margins in the third quarter. It is quite mitigated by the meal margin, but still it's not a scenario where you have deteriorating margins for the company. It's quite the opposite. When we talk about the total, the company's gross profit in the quarter dropping 12% and going up 15% in the year-to-date numbers. In other words, the growth mitigates margin effects. And the year-to-date margin sitting at 15.3%. For soybean meal, the discussion is similar to the one under biodiesel in terms of the comparison basis. However, for different reasons, the third quarter of the previous year was a quarter where China bought a lot of soybean meal. Of course, they needed to recover their pork headcount because of this African swine flu that affected them. And that, of course, led to a premium for swine feed. And of course, drove margins up for soybean meals. That did not happen this year. You will see in our release in more detail. And with that, I think we have a margin effect coming out at 15.3%. The outlook, as I mentioned before, the margin outlook for soybean meal in the fourth quarter is better. So I think we do have positive outlook to improve that margin until the end of the year. Turning to the next slide, please. When we move from a discussion of gross profit, the adjusted gross profit, and look from the standpoint of EBITDA, the company in the quarter moves from the previous year, 110 million in EBITDA, to 147 million in EBITDA. That growth was driven mainly by an increase in gross profit. The gross profit is growing 75 million BRLs. And it is, and the margin issue is offset by the gain in efficiency due to the growth of Três Tentos operations. Sales expenses, an increase in sales expenses with an increase in activity, helps reduce the contribution by 28.4 million. However, it provides margin efficiency at 1.1%. If you compare what the company's gross margin loses in margins, which was impacted by the mix of the grain segment, in any event, you see a growth of the operation helping offset SG&A, helping offset that drop in margin. When we look from the 9 months standpoint, we see the effect from the grain segment much more attenuated, much more mitigated. I understand in the fourth quarter that snapshot will be more balanced than we have it now or in the first 9 months of the year. When you look at 2020's EBITDA for the first 9 months, 216 million BRLs, moving to 317 million BRLs. Most of that growth came from the gross profit, 164 million from gross profit, impacted by an increase in sales expenses, SG&A, and 40.9 and 27.9 million BRLs respectively. The adjusted EBITDA of 317 million BRLs is impacted by 20 million BRLs, which is the AVJ, adjustment for the fair value, which reflects a non-cash result, which is the result from the mark to market of the commodity exposure of the company, mitigated by its hedging contract. So those 20 million, it's a non-cash result for the company. The normal trend would be that at the end of the year, that number will be even lower than that. Next slide. When we look from the standpoint of cash generation, we see that in the first 9 months of the year, from December through September, the company increased its net debt by 294 million BRLs. That increase in net debt is natural, irrespective of the company's growth. It is natural year on year or intra year. And in this case, specifically, considering the company's high level of growth, the company is growing 70% this year. That increase in net debt that in the fourth quarter will be even lower is controllable, if I may. The highlight I'd like to provide as we analyze this increase in net debt is the cash generation item. The company has a net, company has a EBITDA cash of 390 million in the first 9 months of the year. That's more than enough to fund investments in working capital, even in a scenario of growth of 70% of the revenues. So revenue grew 70% in the past 9 months. The company is generating an EBIT cash of 390 million, which is enough to fund working capital investments. The CapEx related to that expansion, $222 million, and part of financing activities, including the payout of dividends, they are the uses which are funded by an increase in net debt. Of course, if I consider the IPO raising, we'll close the year in the, or the quarter in the cash positive position, but the objective was to show the company's cash generation ability to fund growth. Once again, for the 12 months, the trend is that the EBIT cash will be even higher and the need for working capital will be lower. When we discuss working capital, we have to talk about funding terms with suppliers and clients. So it is discretionary for the company, or in other words, how the company prefers to establish that relationship, both with growers and with input suppliers. On slide number 13, when we look from the left to the right, talking about net debt, $683,000, though represent 1.4 times net debt over EBITDA, the same multiple when compared to the same period of a previous year. And it already reflects, as I said, a seasonal reduction of the net debt from the second to the third quarter. That reduction of 120 million BRLs is coming from the cash operational generation. For the fourth quarter, because of the lower need for working capital, the nominal number will be lower, and consequently, the multiple net debt over EBITDA will also be lower. When you look at a standpoint of returns, the company's return levels or ROICs very much in line with previous periods. There is a very long history in terms of operating data, a very interesting material. If you feel the need to look at the company's back numbers, just access that in our website. When the industry arm was incorporated, the company's return level increased considerably. Reinstating what we have said before, our business model is still safer or more thorough as it generates higher returns to shareholders. Turning to the next slide, I want to talk about the company's growth, especially the input segment represented by its commercial units or stores. We see an important growth in the number of units. Of course, this follows up on the area covered by the company. So in 2015, the company had 22 stores or commercial units, as we call them, out of which 6 were new stores. In other words, stores that had been open for 3 years or less, covering an area of 1.5 million hectares in Rio Grande do Sul and grossed 283 million in revenues. Three-fourths between new stores and mature stores. That's the ratio. Those stores were responsible for a growth in revenue with a rate of growth of 24% for new stores and 22% for mature stores, leading to a revenue level of, for the past 12 months, of 1.2 billion, maintaining the same ratio from new stores, a fourth of that, and mature stores contributing with 3/4 of that. Today, the company covers 6.7 million hectares in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. So it is a growth that did not start yesterday. it is a growth that has been happening with an acquisition cost, which is much lower. And that has helped increase the company's return levels. So there are several explanations for the company's return levels, but one of them is the acquisition costs. Without a doubt, the way we turn our assets around is a very important variable, but the acquisition costs do help generate returns. And it's the same thing we do to reach 2025 with 70 commercial units or 70 stores. In 2025, we'll have 15 stores with 3 years of operation or less, and 55 stores which have been in operation for over 3 years. And with that, we'll be able to service an area of 17 million hectares, which represents 100% of Rio Grande do Sul state, which today is estimated in 9 million hectares of, and also in Mato Grosso, especially around the BR-163 highway. And with that, we can have a view of where we came from, where we are, and where we are headed in terms of the company's revenue as it relates to the company's commercial units and ag inputs. And with that, and I'd like to turn the floor back to Luis for him to talk about the expansion in Rio Grande and in Mato Grosso. Okay, Mauricio, thank you. Just to emphasize, this year, Três Tentos has already opened 7 stores in Rio Grande do Sul. We had scheduled 6, but we opened 7 by now. And I'd like to share that I was present in each one of them in person, talking to managers, talking to our technicians, our agronomists who are already working in the field. And I can tell you that, and I told them that in Vacaria, I told them, told our managers, our consultants, and some growers were there. Três Tentos will be in each city, and we are always the same company. We're not opening a branch just to be there. We are identified with the area. On the next slide, you see what's happening. The same thing's happening in Mato Grosso. Our Sinopi store is already working. I'll be flying to Sinopi on Friday. I'll stay there for 1 week. João Marcelo, my brother, vice president, Eduardo, our commercial director, our input director, Bangur. We are all working collectively to monitor those new stores. Be it in Rio Grande, be it in Mato Grosso, we are growing as we have always grown, with more technology, with more muscle, if I may, with a higher footprint, be it in person or remotely, but Três Tentos is with them everywhere. And that's what has made a difference in our growth, which was explained by Mauricio. We have our new stores and mature stores moving forward. On the right-hand side, we have a picture of the factory in Vera being built. We have concluded 14% of the works, 500 workers there putting that factory up. It's all within schedule as per the IPO announcements. Everything is ready to go and within the contract and paying as we deliver. Safe construction mechanism. We have already built 47 of those. We're building another one. And in June, July next year, it should be ready to receive grains. We'll be able to receive the new corn crop. And in mid-2023, we have our crushing plant for biodiesel will be in full steam, and the largest area for soybean production in the world. So those are unquestionable items. Brazil today, well, for last crop, we produced 138 million tons of soybeans. This year, 145 million. This number one ranking will only increase. We will leap ahead from the US, which now sits at 120 million and will increase that lead. And we have a way to do that. We can deliver results to clients, to growers, to farmers, to employees, and to society as a whole, and of course, to shareholders. On the next slide, we can see the digital revolution I mentioned earlier, and that also excites me a lot. Growers, the sons and kids and children of growers, everybody using the app. That's a picture of the app, and the offerings, exclusive offerings for the app, crop management. You can check the vegetative index through the app using NDVI imaging. So you can check plant health, and you can be sure Tristentus is doing that for growers in a differentiated manner, both in Rio Grande do Sul and in Mato Grosso. We are quite excited with our lead in technology, but we are paying close attention to that, to what's happening in agriculture. And as I said, we are ready to move forward. Back to Mauricio for his final remarks, and I'll be back after him. Mauricio. Thank you, Luis. As for our operations in the capital markets, we have said that we have a high level of responsibility, 15,755 shareholders of the company. That's the most recent piece of data that we have. And that number we expect to see grow in the future. Out of the 10 first investors, out of those 15,755 investors, the 10 first are investors who have been with us since the IPO. And this has been a very rich exchange relationship for the company. We've had significant conversations with the investor community, but in special with those first 10 top 10 investors. I have to also highlight the important role played by market analysts as they provide us with thought-provoking insights in a very open dialogue, talking about the company's value and especially in, because they are those analysts, because of the knowledge they have about the company, they are multipliers of our business model. And at the end of the day, it is key for the reassurance of every investor, right? To get to know the business model of the company they're investing in. And with that, our main commitment, in addition to responsibility, our main commitment is with transparency and quality of information. We have been working hard around that. Yesterday, we released in our website a 10-year track record for the company. And if you want to start working on your own models, it's even better. And our commitment is exactly that. We understand the relevance of agribusiness in the capital market scenario, and we want to have increasingly more investors who know our business model, so that we can provide more reassurance to those investors. And lastly, I turn it back over to Luis for his final remarks. Thank you, Mauricio. Tristentus, 2 or 3 years ago, they would say, well, this is a complex company. And we erase the word complex and exchange it for complete. We are a complete company. In Brazilian agribusiness, Tristentus does stand out as a complete company. We are not fully accomplished. We're always growing. We're always open to innovation. We're always open to new technologies. But in terms of inputs, we have a very strong order portfolio for 2022, 2023, 2021, which is about to close. And I'd say that I want to convey this level of confidence to all of you who are with us. High prices, of course, do have an impact, do have a relevance in the amount, total amount of resources, but that won't cause problems to Três Tentos because we work with safe, responsible margins. Mato Grosso accounts for 12% for 2022. For our wheat crop also going very well in Rio Grande. Climate conditions are favorable for the year. So this is a year for La Niña. So was last year too. And a record crop in Rio Grande do Sul. We had a problem in Mato Grosso, especially for corn, but we are open and dependent on climate. That's one variable that we need to accept. We know how to live with that, we who work in agriculture. What we do need is to try to mitigate the risk and manage that risk. Higher static capacity for 950,000 tons, grain originating for grains in Mato Grosso for 2022, a new negotiation model for biodiesel. We are quite confident on that. Our commodities desk team is in São Paulo at the conference for BR Diesel, talking with all players in the market, an increase in our crushing capacity as of February, March, an additional 1,000 tons a day for crushing, and that will make us self-sufficient in oil production for Rio Grande do Sul, just as it will happen in Mato Grosso. So I have no doubt that Três Tentos will follow on its pathway of growth, always valuing agribusiness with this passion in every city, in every village where we are present. We are there in those locations to stay, and we work differently because we do have this proximity with growers. We have this identification with growers, with farmers, and this is part of our culture, and we're able to replicate that. We do have a very well-planned risk map. I looked at it this week, and what makes Três Tentos stand out? And I can tell you, it is our risk map. We know all the risks, and we know how to mitigate them. What if you have a drought year, a dry year? Well, that risk today is very much reduced because of new technologies, no-till planting equipment, different planting cycles. So growers or agriculture as a whole, not only Três Tentos, agriculture as a whole, is able to mitigate risks to a very good extent. But La Niña will bring about less rain than normally. Okay, but if we have normal rains, we'll have perhaps fewer rains, and we'll once again have high yields because of our technology. So when we look back, we see that the worst moments where we had the worst drought periods in Rio Grande were years that were expected to be normal, but then we had problems in the rainfall distribution. So, and that goes for market risks, climate risks. Três Tentos has that well mapped out, and we do have the tools. We do have a dashboard that allows us to look at it with a very good level of certainty, responsibility. We won't do anything just to do it. We don't want to grow everything we can in 1 year. No, you want to grow at the pace that we can sustain. And as Mauricio said, the shareholders are with us. They are reassured. They understand the purpose of a company that is here to help produce food, renewable fuel, and 70% of reduction in CO2 emissions in relation to diesel. We are here to work to capture carbon, to sell carbon credits. We are here working with agricultural growers to help them stay in the field so that Brazil can become the most important country in the world in agriculture. We are the number one soybean producer. We are the fourth largest corn grower in the world, and demand for food only grows. Our responsibility, or my responsibility as CEO of the company talking to you, is that we need to have the responsibility. We need to be ambitious. We need to want to grow, but to grow responsibly, as we've done. Higher margins, lower margins, here or there, this is bound to happen. But within this ecosystem, this strength that the company has is what reassures us to keep going. We have a history of 26 years to validate that. And today, with the market, with the capital markets, we are increasingly stronger to move forward. So my final message, couldn't be more optimistic. Now, I think we remain for questions, I think. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. Questions can be sent through audio, clicking on the icon, raise your hand, available on the lower part of the screen. Right now, you'll be prompted to unmute your mic. To send your question via text, click on the Q&A icon on the lower part of the screen and type in your question. Participants connected via phone can ask their questions typing star 9. When your question is collected, you will be prompted to unmute your mic. Questions in English will be received exclusively via text. Our first question comes from Matheus Anfield, UBS. Good morning, Luis, Mauricio, Eduardo, thank you. First question about biodiesel. You mentioned some of that. With the end of the biodiesel auctions, can you give us some more color in terms of the negotiations with distributing companies? Can we expect to see longer term contracts? And how would those contracts work? Are you thinking about cost plus fixed margin or an indexation with some type of raw material? Whether those contracts include some anticipation of volumes? And the second question about the competitive environment in the ag import. We've seen consolidation in the sector, most through M&A. How do you see that? And have you seen higher levels of competition? And thinking about the expansion towards Mato Grosso with some important M&As announced, have you seen any additional difficulty, especially with the increase of stores in the state? Thank you, Matheus. Good questions. First, for biodiesel, we are in contact with distributing companies. We are doing some internal work. The biodiesel market, distributing companies and producing plants already indicate that we should have the same line of work that we did with auctions. We will schedule a purchased volume of soybeans. Some other companies work with animal fat. So they'll be working with cattle fat, with processing plants, and then establish their costs. And then we'll define contracts in the market. Today, we have demands that will cover the first biomass of 2022 for distributing companies that they want our biodiesel because of a logistics reason. So this market should continue to be working like this on trucks. So those distributing companies already know how to work with these temples. I cannot anticipate who those distributing companies will be, but we do not have signed contracts, but we do have contracts which are well underway, if I may, for January and February, that happening during the auctions in the first 2 weeks of the previous month. So today we're closed. As I said, we have the BR Biodiesel Conference is happening in São Paulo. Tomorrow I'll be in São Paulo talking with some distributing companies. We are, that it's not a blank page. We are doing the exercise to close contracts to be good for both parties and to have a free market when we are confident we'll make it. As for your second question about the consolidation of the market in agribusiness, especially in input distribution, that is something visible, very material in Brazil. The largest distributing company in Brazil was a cooperative, or is a cooperative, which holds around 4% of the market, 4%. So it's very fragmented. And 2 or 3 years ago, that consolidation movement started. Três Tempos today is a consolidating agent. We are not going through the M&A avenue now because we think that that growth, both in Rio Grande and in Mato Grosso, where we could buy specific units or lease facilities, buy land or build units and so on, that avenue is more effective. Maybe the name will take a little longer to be implemented, but that's how we're going to get access to the market at a faster but more consistent way. Today, we have feedback from growers, from those clients, and that's the most important thing. If we do not have that basis, that counter, as I call it, with over 18,000, and it will get to 20,000, 30,000 clients, that's what we need to have first and foremost. Then, and only then, we'll go after the other tools for us to move forward. So we are quite confident in our growth model as well. Next question from Isabella Simonato, Bank of America. Hello, good morning. Good morning. Thank you. I have two questions. We see in your numbers a very sharp increase in input prices. If you could give us some more color on how you see that dynamic for 2022 and talk a bit about supply, fertilizer supply, and chemicals for the 22-23 crop. You mentioned you have already bought the products that growers already have advanced in planting, but when we think about the next crop, how do you see that offer or that supply dynamics? And number two, about the crushing margins. Even though you had a growth in top line, we saw a pressure on the industry margin. Maybe because of the soybean meal curve vis-a-vis the mark-to-market moves. So I'd like to understand how you see that margins dynamics for the industry arm in the short run and for 2022. Thank you. Thank you for your question. I'll address the first one. As for the availability of ag inputs, in this case, especially fertilizers, and also this high cost, it went up 4 times in US dollars. As I said, Isabella, this is temporary, as I said. And the world is facing difficulties today in supply, which is also linked to the energy crisis, logistics crisis, and so on. Producing countries are very few, especially for potassium, as I said. So that oligopoly is a reality, and they are managing, manipulating that to get prices up. so that, well, Russia has suspended that for 6 months. Maybe in a month, they'll say it's only 2 months, not six, and they'll start clearing that. That has happened in the past and will continue to happen. I do see that for growers, the situation is stable. They are ready. They will use less fertilizers because they are fertilizing the system. They are not fertilizing on a crop by crop. They fertilize for the whole year and they make estimates. They calculate the number of bags they want to harvest per hectare. So they fertilize the system with NPK, but especially phosphorus, and they complement with potassium and nitrogen. So we are quite confident in the approach that we have as Três Tentos. The lower the availability, the more difficult things are, the more important it'll be for a company like ourselves to be close to growers, to provide support with technical/financial decisions. So Três Tentos has only to gain with that because we become more relevant and we are quite confident in our supply. As we produce fertilizers through our brand, 3Fertil, we have imported raw material, we have worked on the mix here, and we're also a very good distributor for fertilizers. So we are in a good position to define the best moment to buy fertilizers. What I can tell you that is that for 21, 22 is ready, 22, 23 is a source of concern for the whole market. And we are paying close attention to that, but we're also confident that Três Tentos can solve that. Prices are in line with that movement that started with commodities. Soybeans is already losing actually that level of $12 per bushel. We are losing some in the commodities. Inputs have gone up, but today they are stabilized at the top. I do not expect to see a lot of room to go up. It has to make sense, right? So there is demand for food, and that's where we have to focus, and that's where we have to do the math with growers. It needs to be good for them, for us, and for the other stakeholders in society. I hope I have addressed your question, and I now turn the mic over to Mauricio to talk about the margins. Thank you, Luis. Good question about the industry. And it's difficult to be very definite about those questions. But in any event, margins for industry going forward, as you asked, how do we see that playing out? Demand for diesel should increase irrespective of the blend level. And this will favor aggregate demand for biodiesel. I think the moment now, the government moment in Brazil, we do have inflationary pressures going. Which is our call. Brazil has a great vocation, a great call for biofuels and biodiesel in special, but it's difficult to forecast in the long run. So what can we do that is different? We have a crushing margin for oil, which is good. It reflects in our production costs, and that's something we can deliver. We can deliver better margins than expected because of the process we use. However, we cannot have very high margins in the current scenario. So we started the year with a very low margin. It has been growing. In the fourth quarter, it should be slightly better than the third one. As for soybean meal, the margin discussion is slightly inverted. It started very strong in the year. Demand for the product, it normalized. And then in the fourth quarter, we have to expect higher margins in meal. That's our view in the short run for the industry. Okay, thank you. Next question from Gabriel City. Thank you for the, I have two questions. The fertilizer issue is very important. That is a concern around the world, as you said. And the trace fertile aspect is very important. That's probably reassuring for you in terms of supply, in terms of competitive advantage over the other clients or players. How do you see growers receiving that hike in prices in inputs, fertilizers? Do we expect farmers to cut down on their investments? Would you say that there is enough stock in the soil that would lead to a decrease in investments? How do you see that? How do you see the behavior of growers relative to prices? In terms of investments on the part of farmers, how do you see that going forward? And for biodiesel, I'd like to understand how you see margins. Could that reflect in a better margin for you, that logistic advantage that you have, the size of the company that you have today? And for, as for B15, when we look at the older targets and the target that the government has today for the B10, do you think we could reach B15 sometime along the way? Or it will depend on a decision by the government. Thank you, Gabriel. Good questions. We have a chance to reinforce the fertilizer issue. It is a worldwide problem. That availability and that control of the offering, that reduction in the offer, it is momentary, as I said, but still it is influencing prices. The positioning of the Brazilian grower, what we have been observing and also helping decide for the 22-23 crop, helping them plan. Several growers will reduce 20%, some others 10%, and some 30 or 40%. In Paraná, for example, we heard about growers in Paraná that would reduce by 40%. Companies that have growers with partnerships with precision ag companies, such as Três Tentos, companies that work with growers for them to use their fertilizers in a more rational way, that is making a difference. Those growers are talking with our agronomists to make decisions around fertilization. And with that, they will better use their fertilizer reserves. And with that reserve that they have in the soil, they will be able in 22-23 to harvest a normal crop with good yield potentials. So we are confident about that. As for pricing, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. What I can tell you is that growers and the market as a whole, the US, Brazil, and the other markets, they will be always having this swap relationship. So fertilizers can go so far, and then the solution will be only prices falling. And then commodity prices, you'll need to adjust so that the exchange relation will be positive. That will help growers decide to plant. I haven't witnessed growers decreasing their acreage. I haven't seen that happen in my life. But in the US, right, they have some insurance programs, that happens. And then prices need to go up, and that relationship needs to go up. So the corn is buying soybean area, as they put it, or the other way around, or nobody is buying any area. So they go to preservation areas. So in Brazil, we see prices going up. What will be making a difference are companies / clients and growers making the best decision about fertilization, the fertilization that makes sense, and that only makes sense when the company is relevant for the clients. And we are very confident, and prices will adjust by the market. As for biodiesel, I'd like to reinforce, Brazil is already at B15. We are in B15 already. We have a mandate of at least B10, and you can be sure many distributing companies are using B12, B13 in certain moments. I've had that information come to me. So Brazil is already at B15. That's the law. We can use an up and up to B15. Today the minimum is B10. I am sure that a biofuel, be it sugarcane ethanol, corn ethanol, wheat ethanol, which is coming, or soybean ethanol, or from animal fat, that will grow. That will grow. I cannot fathom the largest soybean producer in the world not having an equivalent biodiesel up to B15. No, we will import diesel. That doesn't make sense. We will destroy this industrial park in the country. It's difficult to imagine or to believe something like that could happen, whatever the government is, whatever the administration is. So we need to be attentive to all movements, but looking at costs, hedge, our safety to provide quality market to the market. We do have the tools in place. I wanted to sit around the table with a client to work on the contract and work on a hedging dynamics and move forward. When you mention 20, 30, 10%, are you talking about fertilizers in general, inputs in general, and where, in what region are you talking about? You did mention Paraná, just to be sure I understand. And as for margins going forward for biodiesel, with this bilateral scenario, not going through auctions and so on, do you think you could have better margins biodiesel going forward? About the first question, I mentioned Paraná because somebody mentioned that to me. Some in Paraná will use less 40%. That's all I know. We do not have a presence there. And that might be the case. That reduction should happen. It's not going to happen in a linear way across our region. Several growers will not reduce. They will fertilize as planned and as per soil analysis. Some will reduce, and they'll reduce mainly and phosphorus because it has less mobility in the soil. And as for potash, they'll work And then nitrogen also, they only apply at the time. But nitrogen can be found across the world, just like potash in Morocco and other countries. Morocco is the largest producer or supplier of phosphorus in the world. And Russia and Belarus and Israel supply potash. We are quite confident that Três Tentos is in a position to meet growers' demands. And again, the exchange relation will make a difference. As for biodiesel, I cannot say anything over than that, because everybody will be getting protected, everybody will be making money, distributing, producing, and we need to get that the gas stations at a good position. Now, as for the other bimasters, and from then on, there won't be the same dynamics. This will be isolated deals, contract-based, and I see that margin growing because I see a growing in the usage as well. That's my expectation going forward. Not right now, January, February. Right now, we'll be getting to a situation closer to what we had in the auctions to prepare for 2 months, and in 2 months, we'll have the deals. Thank you. Três Tentos presentation is now over. Thank you all for participating and have a nice day, everyone.